Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the backyard. This is Margaret Marshall, your host, and I want to welcome you this wonderful evening to our Labrish. And as I usually do, I want you to go with me on a virtual trip to Jamaica, land we love. So if we were there, as we were when we were growing up, or if you visited there and you know how wonderful this time of day it is as the trade winds just drift softly across your face, no matter how hot it was during the day, as I'm sure it is in some of the cities that you may be calling in from or coming by later to listen from, because I know in my city it is hot. So it's really nice to just chill, relax, close your eyes. When we get to Labrish in the backyard, it's just no problem on, because we Jamaicans know how to chill and relax. So grab your favorite drink, be it rum and Coca-Cola or just the coconut water. Just relax. And remember those wonderful evenings with the balmy breeze, trade winds drifting softly across your face. Because tonight we have a special guest who's not new to the backyard, because he's one of our longest listening fans. And he has been a contributor to the show numerous times. But tonight he's our special guest, because he has prepared for us reflections on Jamaica, British West Indies, when it was considered from way back when the gem of the Caribbean. So we all have wonderful memories, whether it's just a visit or like me and a lot of my fans, you were born and raised there, and man, was that a blessing. I know that you will enjoy, you know, here in the backyard, we reflect on all the good things about Jamaica. We're here to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve, hopefully, the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica. So tonight, our guest is Mr. Lay Nunez, and if you are a fan, you will know that he's from the Bronx, home of the Yankees. So I just want to tell you that this evening, he's been here in this country for a very long time, but he still considers himself a Jamaican, as most of us do, even though we're not necessarily going back there to live the rest of our lives out. Some of us wish we could. But we're always going to have fun memories and feel connected. So as we get ready to celebrate the 50th independence, There's celebrations going on all over the globe because there's hardly a place on the map you won't find a Jamaican. And boy, do we know how to party. So there are celebrations being conducted as we speak, I am sure, because we don't just party for one day. You know, it goes on and on as long as we can stretch it. So without any further ado, I would like to ask our special guest, Mr. Nunes, if he's on the board, would he raise his hand so I can officially welcome him. So get settled in your chair because it's going to be a good labrish. Mr. Nunes, are you there? Oh, I see that he has not arrived yet. So I guess I'll have to fill in. I hope he didn't forget, because really I don't have anything prepared about the reflections of the British West Indies. I personally have been here before independence. I came to this country in 1959. As a matter of fact, I've lived in my state of Georgia longer than I ever lived in Jamaica. So I am hoping that he calls in soon. Not there. If someone on the board has his number, would they call and remind him for me that he's our special guest tonight? I think sometimes his sister is usually a fan and would be listening. So if anyone is there, can call him and let him know. We're waiting on him patiently. I think I will take this opportunity to give a shout out to some people and also to announce that I live in the city of Atlanta, and there is a big community of Jamaicans here, and they celebrate every single year. But as will be all over the world, this particular independence will be a very special celebration, because for fans who might not know, this is the 50th year that Jamaica is an independent country. So there's really special celebrations for this period. And I would just like to, I see his hands is raised. So I'm going to open up the mic and welcome our guest, Mr. Leigh Nunes. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to the backyard.
Yes, I'm here in the Bronx, and I'm battling with the phones.
Usually my job, I'm usually battling with my phone.
And I don't know which one to turn off now, because
you're getting an echo. I suggest you turn off your first one you called in on.
Okay.
See if that works better. Okay.
Do you still hear me?
I hear you, yes.
Okay, great.
And I'm not hearing an echo now.
Yes,
so welcome to the backyard. Please tell the guests where you're calling from and who you are, and let's roll.
Yes, I'm here in the Bronx, and as you know, I always say that we are the home of the New York Yankees.
I told them that for you.
You did you?
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Now we all know.
Right.
And I don't know. If your listeners were listening to the last several weeks on the Labrish, I'm sure that you and I feel very proud of hearing about the Jamaicans who you pointed out, who excelled both at home and abroad.
And continue to do so.
And continue to do so, right through to the next century. Whether it be as scholars, we pointed out several people who were outstanding, whether as political leaders, because we've heard of people who emerged in the UK, in Canada, and always the first, by the way,
mm-hmm.
or Cuban entrepreneurs as pilots. Jamaican pilots were well known for their skills as pilots.
And still are. Someone called me about some country that there are quite a few of them now.
Yes, because as everyone knows, we currently don't have an airline, but they scooped up the pilots.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were
including
number one.
Including some female pilots.
Yeah. I wasn't aware of that.
Yep, I have to get a story going on that one.
Yes. And back in the day when the Jamaicans represented the islands, the Commonwealth, when during the World War II in the Royal Air Force,
mm-hmm.
a lot of Jamaicans excelled. Some remained in England, and a lot came back, returned to the island, and even had a little club amongst themselves, people who were in the Royal Air Force.
Right.
So whatever Jamaicans did, they would always rise like cream to the top of their profession.
Amen.
As we do our countdown to August 6th, 2012, we in the Jamaican diaspora can feel proud and hold our heads high as we look back from our various beginnings to how we see ourselves fitting into a Jamaica, the land we love. We've already had 50 years and we're still floating. And after independence celebrations this year, we have another 50 at least to go.
Amen.
I say a lot of 50 at least because we won't be around for the next 50. I mean, let's face it. But Jamaica lives, right?
Amen.
So we're
discussing several weeks in succession people who lived 100 years ago who were outstanding.
Yes, I'm sure that a lot of listeners made note of that, and some of them we never heard of them before.
Right.
And it makes it all so very interesting to hear about people from our country who, were so outstanding. Now, Jamaica became a crown colony in, we're going to look back now as far back as we can, because as my experience was that even if you went to a prominent school in Jamaica, your history lessons were limited to either European history, American history, but very limited on the Jamaica front. So it's a wonderful thing that we're now in the technological age and we can sort of dig up fairly easily things that we never heard before, things that we weren't taught in school. So if we think of back in the 16th, actually the 17th century, when the British easily won Jamaica over from the Spanish, and I say easily because, as you remember, the Spanish came first and they were looking for gold, which they never found.
Right.
But the British saw gold in another way.
Hey.
And for another 300 years, during which time the British capitalized on a robust slave trade to forward their visionary plans for Jamaica,
mm-hmm.
and for Jamaica's future. So, you know, whereas Spain looked for and did not find gold per se, the English saw the importance of Jamaica's strategic position in the Caribbean. They saw the importance of Kingston Harbor as an asset for anchorage of ships. As you know, Kingston Harbor is, we learned in school, one of the three best natural harbors in the world. And
mm-hmm.
if you remember, the old Palisades borders the Kingston Harbor, and it virtually encloses the harbor. So that protects the harbor from high seas, and it's perfect for Jamaica being one of the prime routes from other parts of the world down to the South America. In those days, the canal wasn't built yet. So ships would be anchoring in our harbor. So the British saw that it was advantageous for them to not only position themselves as our masters. A lot of people don't like to hear that, but that's what they were then, because
mm-hmm.
don't forget, we were a colony, and like a crown colony, and we answered to the king in those days. Remember singing God Save the
Gracious King.
God Save the King at every
event,
public function that we go. If we went to the movies, remember, we would stand up and sing that. And, you know, looking back at those things that we did and how we were brought up as, you know, British subjects, it was a certain discipline that I think we carry with us today. That,
amen.
You know, we are patriotic and we respect authority.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people think that's not a good thing now, but we are the living proof. So we saw that with the slave labor, the British saw that they could find gold in the growing and harvesting of sugarcane. Sugarcane was king and very labor-intensive, and it was easy for them to use the slaves to harvest the crops. This resulted in the creation of many sugar barons, who were very successful in their plantations and utilizing this trade. Sugar was king in most of Latin America and South America as well, Brazil, but more so in Jamaica. And I looked at a map recently and found that there was plantation houses in every parish. You know, we We know them nowadays as great houses because there are few of them left, but in the old days, that's where the sugar barons would live in these sumptuous houses, because they made a lot of money and gained great wealth from production of sugar. So the cultivation of sugar and the production of sugar brought Jamaica to the forefront in one sense. But there is scant historical reporting of how destabilizing it was to the people.
Mm-hmm.
And as we go along the period from the 18th and 19th century on into the 20th century, this was a time that was punctuated by rebellion by sugar workers. And we know in some of the history that we learned, most notably was the Kensington Rebellion. This is going back as far as 1831. You see, we started out as a crown colony in 1655, and for the next 300 years, the background of life in Jamaica was not easy. And so people rebelled, and this Kensington Rebellion was one of the first rebellions, and the Morant Bay Rebellion, which a lot of us know maybe more so about,
right,
was because one of the heroes of Jamaica, Paul Bogle, was one of the main leaders who was put forward. He was a, you know, in every uprising there is a leader, and this guy Paul Bogle emerged as a leader, even though he was more of a religious person, so to speak, but he could speak and rouse the people, and a lot of religious leaders do that.
And do that. And they have charisma.
Charisma.
Mm-hmm.
But he, of course, ended up in a way that, well, we can talk about that in another session when we talk about heroes. And I guess I remember more about the Frome Rebellion, which was in 1939. This was more a contemporary event for most of us, because we heard about the rioting in Frome, the sugar estates.
And that is Westmoreland, right?
And that is St. James, Westmoreland. And this also, and you might, I think you have something to say about another hero, Mr. Bustamante. This event brought him to the forefront.
Right, right.
Yes. So, of course, these events followed the abolition of slavery, which was in 1834. And so when that event occurred, naturally the people were now, as people being the slaves and other than slaves, were more hopeful that life would not be as harsh as it was prior. And of course, following that, the Emancipation Day came in 1838. So you can see, like, the sequence of events there, where people were fomenting in anger with anger, and there were lots of rebellions. And all the laborers wanted was they sought better pay and better working conditions. And as a result, they rebelled, and you had men stepping up to put forward these needs of the people. So the next century saw Jamaica weaning itself from the mother country. The masses, goaded by emerging leaders, meaning Bustamante and others, aspired for the better life, if not for themselves, for their children and their descendants, like we are.
Uh-huh.
And in 1912, this is some 75 years after emancipation, the world was changing, and so was Jamaica. And the heightened expectation of the people, people began to get more anxious as they saw ways out of poverty and submission. And, of course, it was in 1914 that the Panama Canal was completed. This influenced a lot of Jamaicans, too, who wanted to have a better life and have work. And they all, a lot of the men went down to the canal to see what they could do work-wise. And I've seen books that singled out in particular Jamaicans who were great workers. So it doesn't matter what a Jamaican does, you can always depend on him to be a great worker, a good worker. So in the islands and the Caribbean area, they were part of the British Empire, and they were called the British West Indies, Jamaica included. And the British Empire included some reports say 8 islands, some say 10, but we'll go with 8 for this discussion.
I don't think you can name the 8.
You can think. Can you think of any?
Well, Trinidad, I suppose, and
oh, you got that right.
Jamaica.
Trinidad is one. And
Jamaica, Guyana, but that's not an island.
No, it doesn't have to be an island, but they were in the Caribbean area. All right, I'll make it easy for you. The Jamaica you mentioned, Trinidad you mentioned, Trinidad and Tobago,
uh-huh.
The Bahamas, Barbados.
Okay.
And of course, Jamaica had
Barbados is it's a British country. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Barbados is a very British island.
Mm-hmm.
And
Jamaica. Martin?
Jamaica had dependencies. You heard of Turks and Caicos Islands,
right? Uh huh.
And the Cayman Islands, which I think it's still a dependency of Jamaica.
Really?
Yes. Even though we're independent and they're independent as we are. So, and then in those days, they called Honduras British Honduras and British
mm-hmm.
Guyana, and of course the Leeward Islands and the Windward Islands.
Right.
You only think about them. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, you only think about the Leeward and Windward Islands when you go on a cruise, but they were part of the British West Indies. Now, yeah.
Okay.
Now we're down from 1914, the opening of the canal, and we fast forward to 1958, and between 1958 and 1962, we have the West Indies Federation.
Mm.
Now, this was another way of getting out of the clutches of the British, if you want to put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
In that we were a colony before, and we find that we collectively, being those eight colonists, would fare better if we could speak with one voice. The trouble is that these islands that I just named were separated by a lot of seawater. You know, we weren't close together, and communication in those days was not like I'm talking to you now with my cell phone. It was the seaways was the way of communicating for the most part. So in between 1958 and 1962, all of these islands, except the Bahamas and British Honduras, British Guyana, and the British Virgin Islands, were organized into this federation. But federation soon succumbed to internal political conflicts and dissolved in 1962. So you might say this was short-lived.
Very short-lived. Is that families fighting with each other?
That's what it was.
Family
fight. It's exactly what it was. And a lot of the Jamaicans, for instance, thought that we, being the biggest and the most progressive island, would be, you know, we didn't want Trinidad, who was going to be the main island, so to speak, telling us what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it fizzed. And the breakup of the federation, actually, if you want to call it a blessing for Jamaica, because it was the beginning of our ideas about independence. Well, what amazes me is that this federation, it broke up in May of 1962.
Uh-huh.
And by August, we were on our own already. We submitted our the papers for federation and for independence. And the rest is history. So it didn't take, you know, what I'm really driving at is that we must have had plans at the ready that if this thing didn't work amongst our partners, the colonial partners, heck with them, we could go right on and do our thing. And that's exactly what we did.
But apparently that was plan B.
Yes. So, you know, leave it to Jamaica and the rest of them we left in the dust. But
right.
I must say that independence came gradually for most of them, the rest of them. But my only consternation is that it happened so fast after the Federation didn't work.
Right.
But, you know, Jamaicans always have a plan B, as you say.
Mm-hmm.
So, this independence was the beginning of the two-party system. The two-party system came out of the Federation, where the leaders got together and saw that they could run the country, so it ended up with the two-party system that we have today.
Mm-hmm.
And if to some I know, whether it means giving up of high tea at 3 o'clock every day, or playing test cricket as a major sport, or giving up your British passport. Some people still bemoan the transition to independence to this day.
Yep.
But
when I was down in Jamaica last year, there was a survey, and a lot of people felt that they liked the old ways. So, you know, it's just a matter of opinion.
Yeah, well, you see, you can look at it both ways. And the fact is that culturally,
Hello? Hello? Are you there? Hello? You just went dead. Well, I don't mean literally, but we can't hear you. Oh, well, let me just take a break here. Hopefully our guests can call back in. But I want to tell the folks that may be listening online or those who come by later that you're listening to Backyard Labrish on Blog Talk Radio. We're here each Thursday at 8 o'clock, where we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. And the whole objective behind this particular broadcast is to sort of give a voice to some of the history. I know that a lot of people, all of the information is online, and, you know, some of the information we get online is not necessarily accurate because, you know, it's like the free world. Online, people are free to make up their own stories. And the objective of what I had in mind when I decided to start this program, that there should be a voice from the people who lived their lives in Jamaica prior to independence. Because the communication, as our guest, Mr. Nunes, says, was not like it is now in the days we were growing up. Because, you know, we had pen pals if we wanted to talk to someone abroad. You would be writing a letter. I mean, most of the island, it wasn't in a matter of whether you could afford it or not. There were just not enough phone lines to go all over the place. So depending on where you lived, I left when we had the three-party line, I think, or not three-party. You know, there were three people on the one phone line, and you'd have to wait till your neighbor or whoever have it, if you were lucky enough to get a phone, before you can use it. However, so there was not a lot of information about life even in another part of the country. Unless something was making the newspaper, then we in Kingston or perhaps another part of the island might not necessarily know about it. So I know foreigners that realize how small the island is compared to, you know, the U.S. or Canada or England would always ask me, you know, oh, I know such and such a person from Jamaica. Do you know such and such a person? As if we all knew each other. But I know that for me, I grew up in Kingston, and I didn't know what was going on. I'd never been to Montego Bay until the day I left the island and the plane happened to touch down in Montego Bay. So we never necessarily know what was going on. Plus, as our guest said, we, you know, didn't do a lot of Jamaican history in school. We did a lot of history, and we had a really wonderful, diverse education that I think was quite deep in those days, but not really a lot of history about Jamaica itself and what had happened before us. I see that my guest is back online, so I'm going to wrap my little sidebar up and go back to him so he can finish enlightening us about when Jamaica was the gem of the British. Oh, he's... would you please put your hand up if you're there, Mr. Nunes, because I can see you coming on, in and out of the board. Okay, I see the hand up, so I'm going to open up the mic. Are you
can
there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I apologize, but this is this technology. Maybe we should go back to the old days when you used telegraph and telephone.
Right. Morse code.
That's good. But,
yes.
Yeah,
so back to you.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard my transition from I started to say as we count down from August 6th
mm-hmm.
of this year of 2012, the 50th anniversary.
Right.
Yeah, we in the diaspora surely can feel proud and hold our heads high as we look back from our various beginnings. I think I heard you say that you didn't know about Montego Bay.
Yeah, I'd never been to Montego Bay before I came here.
Which
was in 1959. The plane just happened to touch down there. I don't remember if it was when I went back or what. But I'd never been to Montego Bay.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's the thing that we touched on before. Our island, when compared to where we are now, we're sitting into a large country, and we can, in a matter of 2 hours, I can be visiting you or somebody in Canada. And I remember it taking 3.5 hours to drive to Montego Bay, and not me driving. At 16, I got a ticket learning to drive, and I never drove again on the island. But the point is that communication wasn't as good as it is now. And I say that with reservation because I am using today's technology and I just blacked out. And it could happen again. Excuse that phone ringing because I'm on the cell. Were you going to say something about those two heroes that I mentioned? Or
no, I want you to sort of wrap up what you were bringing us up to date with before I mention anything about that. We still have a little time.
Yeah. I think that I brought you from when the where the island was when the British took over.
Mm-hmm.
And we skirted over the waters for 300 years after. That's a long time.
Very long time.
In between that time, we thought about federation, which didn't work, but your words, we had the backup plan, and that's where we are today, with that backup plan. And every plan needs a little renovating, or however you want to put it. And it would be a good thing to see the economists and the people that are in finance and budgeting and stuff like that, who are not even on the island, send some, in the old days we would call white papers, to the government. And, you know, this has been tried before unsuccessfully, but if they needed a little assistance and guidance in how to crunch figures in a more modern way, maybe that would help. Wouldn't hurt to have a round table, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This is just to say that we hope for prosperity, continued prosperity in the country, and we hope that the next 50 years will be
better. Mm-hmm.
You know, if we're successful in certain ways, and for instance, the people in sports, we have always been in sports, as far back as I can remember, and I think I'm as old as you, Margaret.
I can remember.
About
you, but I am the senior's senior.
I'm a senior too. So therefore, I've been around when our representatives, when we went to Olympics, which is going on now as we speak, and next week will be the proof of the pudding. We always had people that brought the country Jamaica to the fore and showed that we are winners, no matter in which field that you're in. We're talking sports.
May I use a very well-known Jamaican phrase that may be foreign to the foreigners, but if
okay.
I may say it, we little but we talawa.
Okay. That is very, very appropriate.
I've got to spice it up a little. And I want to take this minute to say to our listeners who might come by later, you know, this we try to make it accurate, informative, but relaxed. And remember, we're chilling in our favorite chair on the roof or on the beach or something, because we Jamaicans know how to party, but we also know how to chill. So this is not Fox or CNN, and we, you know, are not always going by the book. We're always positive. So every now and then I throw in what I like to call my sidebars. And I'd like to let the listeners on the board know that you're always welcome to join us. This is the Labrish. And for people, foreigners, who might not know what a Labrish is, it's not really gossip. It's getting together, people of like minds getting together to talk about a subject of interest. And
well,
boy, can we Jamaicans get hot about our subjects of interest.
Well,
so,
I was going to say that I think over the years now, you're doing this, what, a couple of years or more?
Mm-hmm.
That,
since
that,
August
that,
of 08 is when we started.
Okay. Oh. And the Labrish has been redefined, because in the strict sense of the word, a labrish is kind of gossipy. We don't.
Yeah,
do that,
well,
I
made from day one. I said this will not be a gossip. So you're right. It's redefined.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would rather think that it was people sharing their ideas about one, you know, a subject. I always thought that. But yeah. I was always a person that would be in the books. I even read the dictionary at times. But I was not reading my comic books or Nancy Drew or something like that. But I found the written word a lot more interesting a lot of times than, you know, the spoken word.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I might not be as knowledgeable about the real labrish as I should be.
Well, you know, in any sense, a labrish is a sit down with people and talk. And,
right. So let me ask, is that a real word or is our word?
I think it might be a colloquialism.
That's what I thought, because I don't think you're going to find it in the dictionary.
Well, there's one way of finding out. Google it.
if you're Googling back on, labrish will come up. So.
Oh, yes, that's probably
defined.
True.
But I don't know if, you know, it's actually a proper word. But, you know, we're Jamaicans are known to come up with a lot of different words, how we pronounce them or how we say them or what it means.
Oh, yes. Even at school, we used to coin words weekly.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it wouldn't take much. Anything that is going on at school, in the news, or anything, you can bet that we're going to come up with some words.
Right. So, as the modern techie people would say, what's trending?
What?
In those days, we didn't
what's
have
trending,
those special words. It was just what was coming up all the time.
Oh, yes,
so,
yeah.
But actually, I want to ask listeners on the board if they want to weigh in on the subject of, you know, this period that we are in of celebrating the 50th anniversary, to please hit 1 on your telephone, because that will indicate to me that you want to join the labrish. And also, the listeners listening online, you will find the call-in number right there. If you are online, you will see it. And I keep apologizing that I'm not able to welcome you to the chat room, because, you know, I can chat with you or have a co-host chat with you while I'm doing the live broadcast. So I'm using this opportunity to, if I may, Mr. Lay, just interrupt you for a while,
to let you
know that not only are we celebrating here in the backyard the 50th anniversary, but we're also celebrating the fact that we have now passed the 50,000 mark for downloads of the show collectively.
Since
we started our broadcast, the shows have been listened to over 50,000 times.
Hooray.
Yeah, so I want to thank everybody, all the supporters, for their support. I know a lot of times the board is not filled with callers in, but I know people listen at their convenience. And that's one of the cool things about technology now, and especially Blog Talk Radio. Because I really love Blog Talk Radio, because all of the shows we've done over the years, Lay, are all archived. And, you know, once you click on our link, you are actually at the Backyard Labrish page on Blog Talk Radio. So there's a search bar. So if you think of something that might have been discussed that you would like to hear or listen to a second time, if you just put it in the search bar, shows with that particular word or phrase will come up for you to select from. I'd also like to thank you again for spreading the word, because people must be telling other people about the shows. We have covered many, many subjects, you know, when the different ethnic groups came to Jamaica, what each parish is significant about, when it was started, when it became a parish. We have discussed the exotic birds, the exotic fruits, just lots and lots of information that is there. And except for the sidebars and the comments, I try to use material that's authentic from one of the historians, and I have several of them that I've used over the years, and I want to thank them for their contribution, because I call myself putting a voice to the written material, because I know in today's world, even though the technology is so great and people should have more time, they don't have a lot of time to read. So you can multitask now, so you can be listening to information while you're doing something else, checking your email or, you know, whatever. So I invite you to click, find a show that may pique your interest, and then share it with some of your friends, because we want, you know, this great information to continue to grow, because I believe, and I ask for your contribution, even calling in and saying something is recording your voice and your energy, and it will be here long after we're gone. So to me, that is how you can leave a piece of yourself. I'm particularly looking for people that would like to share their story of the part of the island they grew up, something special about it, or something special about their families, or just how they felt about growing up in Jamaica during the period they grew up. So if you would just go to backyardlabrish.com and just send me a little note in our comment box or some question and answer box that you see there, then I'd be happy to get in touch with you and arrange for you to be a guest. So with that said, Mr. Lay, back to you.
You know, we mentioned before in passing the Windward Islands, and I had just heard, this is a breaking news item, that a tropical storm is forming in the Windward Islands, and there's a watch on in Cuba and Jamaica.
Jamaica, yes, I heard that this morning. Oh, I saw it online. I get most of my news online.
Whatever. But,
so in the diaspora, since it's not heading our way, or even if it is,
Jamaica
and the Windward Island in our thoughts.
It might start there, but, you know, a lot of times we feel the end of it.
Right.
You know, in passing, since sports is going to be for the next 2 weeks.
2 weeks, yes.
As we speak, you know, Jamaica had gone, and this goes back, when you talk about federation and you talk about like test cricket, that in itself was a federation. You know, where you have players from the various islands participating.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, and this only goes to show you that it's not easy to agree, the selection of people from the islands to represent the West Indies was always a controversial thing, because if you don't get selected, people want to know why. If a Trinidadian gets selected over a Barbadian, people want to know why. And then it caused, in the past, this caused a lot of friction.
Mm-hmm.
But the end result was always that we showed that the West Indies would come out on top in the old days. This is not
right.
To say
right.
Cricket.
I wondered if you had in your notes any highlights of why it was considered the gem, Jamaica itself. I know that the British owned several islands, but why was Jamaica considered
the gem? I touched briefly on why it was the gem because
its location and all of that.
Because they were able to cultivate sugar was king, right?
Okay, so let me ask you this because I'm a little ignorant myself. Sugar was not cultivated on any other island?
No. I remember I said that sugar was cultivated even as far down as Brazil. But
right.
But Jamaica
so
being
my
a British West Indian colony, and it centered around it had the infrastructure of Jamaica was so inviting to the people in England.
Being on all of that, yes.
Yes.
So it's a combination of facts that made it the gem.
The gem, because they cultivated enough sugar to supply the rest of the world in those days, if they wanted.
Right. What about banana? But they weren't in the banana
crop. Banana was a subcrop. When you think of, you know, because we also did tobacco and spices, pimenta. I go to Manchester, and I was amazed to see the pimenta cultivation that occurred way back when, because the pimenta tree is like an olive tree. It takes years to produce.
That's not one thing I never covered. In the I covered the rum, the coffee, and a few other things, and all the exotic fruits. I know we covered that, but as you say it, I don't remember covering the pimento. But I'd never been to a pimento plantation. Have you?
Yes,
where they have a lot of pimento planted?
Yes, in Manchester, and I'm telling you. From when you enter the area, the smell is overwhelming.
So let me ask you something: the little black seeds that look almost like black pepper that we have, is that part of a seed of something, or it grows like that?
It's part of a almost like a guava type.
The little seeds are into another compartment.
Yes, and it's a little process that they use to dry it and do what
I got
they want
it.
With it.
Uh-huh.
But there's a lot of things we didn't mention, but apart from that, these barons and people running the show in those days realized even then that Jamaica was a spot that was handed down to by God.
Right. Now, let me ask you something. This gem of the Caribbean, was that a term that was used by the British?
No, but I was thinking of the Columbia, the gem of the ocean south. From the Spanish derivative of Jamaica, Columbia.
Okay.
So, but anyway, it was a gem in those terms of being just what the doctor ordered for. People who...
What was needed for in those days?
To make money and lots of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, and so this is why this laid the basis for a lot of the the revolt, because you know, after the slaves were freed and all of that, the people said, "Well, what's in it for me?"
Right, right. We realize that, so we're up to date now. We're just sort of recapping on the you know, the gem part of it.
Right. Now, so all of these things combined, you know, they don't forget, and a lot of people do forget that we were basically an agricultural country.
Right, and would you say that that has changed a lot?
It has changed a lot in that after the war, World War II, people started to migrate towards the cities because a lot of them were looking for different kinds of work, and they thought they would get it in the cities.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people left, or their children even left the country parts, that is, and they would come to the big cities, Kingston being, you know, Kingston is one of the largest cities in the Caribbean.
Mm.
So, you know, so that is the picture. And I was going to come down to sports a little bit. I mentioned the cricket. The Jamaicans were pretty big also in horse racing, believe it or not. And they have.
We have a show on that in the archives.
Yes, yes, we do.
Mm-hmm. We have a show on that.
And we had. I was a little bit devastated when they turned Knutswood Park, the big horse racing turf there, into the Heroes.
Park.
Whatever they call it. Yeah,
yeah, it's Heroes Park now, which is more or less the national park where the statue of the heroes are.
Yeah, yeah.
But it functions from that point of view, I suppose.
Yeah.
They used to have cycle sports there, too, when I was young.
Oh, yes. Cycling was
cycling. Is cycling still going on now as a sport? Betting sports that people bet on?
No, I'm not sure.
And I don't see history about it anywhere, because
I remembered
it must have been in the 40s or so. I don't remember.
If you recall, we did a show one time that we had, you know, St. George's College had a lot of property beyond Winchester Park. And
mm-hmm.
They used to do cycling there. And
right.
In fact, they had a schoolboy competition in cycling. And one of the fellows that used to ride for judges, old boys, heard the show and was very touched by it, because he never thought anybody remembered in that van.
Oh, heard, you mean our show back at Larry?
Our show, yes.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
That was a guy named Kez Chin.
Right. Well, right now, as I'm thinking about cycle sports, I don't remember seeing anything in the documentation of any of the historians about it. So I want to put it out there right now for any of the listeners that might know anything about this sport that used to be. It used to be held on the weekends. I don't remember. I've never been to one. But I know it was held at the race course, and it was people riding, I suppose, these special kind of built bicycles. And they would be, I suppose, similar to even a race. Have you ever been to one of the events, Leigh?
No, I don't remember.
But you know that it used to happen.
Oh, yes, because...
It was a betting thing, like you bet on horses.
Oh, of course, yes.
Huh.
All I remember is that we used to call the bicycles that they used don't handles.
They bent over. I remember it now. It's coming back to me.
And
I'm going to ask the seniors that might remember anything like that, especially if they were from Kingston, or those coming by later that might listen, to please enlighten us. You know, we're all seniors and we're getting sort of a little, you know what. So, but that just triggered my memory as you said that, because I remember... As a matter of fact, Leigh, I think your grandmother, didn't your grandmother
she was a fan.
Or bet on some of those psycho boys?
She was a fan, and if I may even pass on the word, she used to bet on the
I know. I thought she owned one.
I don't remember that, but I know she used to bet on it.
You know, are supported. You know how, just like the car racing here is sponsored by a company. I thought as a young girl, that's what I heard.
I of course I was very young too. All I know is you to bet on them. Let's leave it at that.
But I know it used to be at race course.
Yeah.
And I think it was kept on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
So I would love to enlighten myself about that. Because, you know, Leigh, I'm so sure that because there was not a means to document the everyday life and living of people who grew up during the time we grew up, if we don't document it, it will be gone forever. And I think it will be such a loss. Because, you know, of the different wonderful experiences that I know I had. So
I
look back, it didn't look so glorious then. But when I look back now, I mean, I said, wow.
And we know for a fact that you really can't commit everything to memory. You know?
Right. Nor writing it down. Because I want to tell the fans that, you know, I had a lot of, my mother documented, my mother wrote a lot of things out because I suppose that's how she wanted to do it, you know. She tried to talk to me a lot of times, but I was always too busy. But I found a lot of things my mother had written after she passed away. But unfortunately, I lost them all in a fire when my house burnt down. So I really encourage the seniors to use the clouds like we're doing now. We're talking on the phone and you're calling into the station, and you know that if you even open the mic and say, hello, I'm here in the backyard, your voice will be recorded in the cloud. And you don't have to tell us anything personal if you don't want to, but at least, you know, it's a way of your voice, your energy being here all the time, you know, long after we have. So I see a hand up at 915-3300, and I'll go to open the backyard. But Leigh, may I just take you off a little? I think you have phone ringing in the background. May I?
Yeah.
I'll open up the mic for you again afterwards, but just you can take the call. I'm going to close your mic now. Hold on.
Yeah.
I'm trying to close it, but I don't know. You know, as you said, this technology sometimes don't work as cool as you want it to work. So
can you hear me?
Hitting the wrong button. Welcome. Who do I have?
I am not sure if I am.
You're live.
I am live.
Yes.
Well, you know, I tried. I put up my hand at least half a dozen times.
You did?
Yes, for the past half an hour, and for some reason...
I was not noticing the board, because sometimes I have another screen up.
Yes, I was saying that maybe...
Who do I have? And where are you calling?
This is Carl from Mount Vernon.
Oh, welcome, Carl from Mount Vernon. Welcome to the backyard.
Yeah, well, I had a few thoughts on the topic as he went along with his narrative, and when you mentioned about the backyard Labrish, I described it, by the way, as historical reflections on Jamaica, and then I had a question he mentioned about the great houses. Which were designed or constructed for the sugar plantation owners. And I wanted to know if Devon House in Kingston was one of them.
Oh, no, actually it wasn't. And we did a show on that.
Yes.
So if you go in the archives, you will find out about that show.
So it wasn't one of the great houses?
It was built by Jamaica's first black millionaire.
Oh.
It's a very interesting story.
And then and then to go on to the different agricultural products that we produced, pimento, coffee, and so on. They were very big, but of course sugar was number one, as Mr. Nunes said. I also, on the subject of cycling, the place was called Town Moor.
Oh, that's where they would do the cycling?
Yes, it was right on the corner of one of the race course near the western end or side of the race course, and it was a weekly event, very well attended.
Have you ever been to one?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
So would it be similar to a horse race? I mean, where you have a track? That you run
yes,
in?
Yes, there was a special cycle track. And by the way, some of the type of cycles that they use now in cycling, like where Lance Armstrong participated, they are made in the same way with the down handles and so on. And they had quite a few top stars, and it was a gambling thing. Or a lot of us went there not to gamble, but just to enjoy the sport, to watch.
Right. Cool. I had always heard about it.
Yes. And then, let me see, there was another thought that I had on some of the things that he said. Oh, yes, the Federation. It was at the time I had the privilege of participating in reporting the news for the Gleaner at that time, and they were waiting for Norman Manley's decision as to whether Jamaica would consider becoming a part of the Federation. And I happened to be the photojournalist who covered his announcement at Halfway Tree. And I did a series of photographs of his different expressions. We had about maybe 8 that were published showing him making the decision that he's going to stay in Jamaica. There was a great deal of jealousy as to where the capital of the Federation was going to be. And, of course, the top name at the time was Trinidad in Chagaramas in Trinidad. But the people felt that Jamaica was a more well-known place, and we didn't want to become second-class citizens, so to speak, you know. So he decided that he would withdraw from the participation in the Federation.
I think I read someplace where something was put up for a vote, and then the people voted against it.
Yeah,
Yes,
but there may have been something like a plebiscite, but I also believe that everything at the time, Norman Manley was the prime minister and well respected and loved. And at the time, he had the
he was the prime minister at the time?
Yes.
Also, the Federation. Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, well, the election that followed his tenure. He lost to Bustamante, and Bustamante became prime minister just at the time of Federation. I mean, not Federation, I mean Independence. I'm sorry, Independence.
Oh.
And this is why.
Because I thought Bustamante was the first Prime Minister of Jamaica.
Oh, yes. Yes. Well, he was Prime Minister. He won the election shortly before the independence was declared. And so he was inaugurated as the first Prime Minister. And so, incidentally, Blackwood, who was then the Governor General, the British, the old-fashioned British Governor General, just a matter of courtesy, because he was already in the King's House, they decided to give him the position as the first Governor General. Remember now, the first Governor General was a white man from England, but he was only in the office for about 6 months or so, and then they selected C.C. Campbell as the first black or native Governor General.
Right. Now, do you see the only governor I remember is Governor Foote?
Well, the Foots were there for some time. And I remember Lady Foote was very involved in a lot of social activities. Yeah.
So I remember Governor Foote.
Oh, yes. And then there was Huggins also.
Yeah, I remember Huggins, too, the name.
Yeah.
But I was in the military in 1952. I can't even remember. In the 50s, anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all interesting, and I am always as senior as I am, I'm always anxious and excited to learn some new information, especially about my country, and especially if it's positive, it's something good. Because you know how I really feel, you know, the past is the past, and we need it to solidify the future, because you really have to know where you came from. But you know, you really can't go back and change anything.
No.
But you can learn so much from events and people and people's behavior and how it affected the people around them.
Also, those were happy days for us. Happy and the days of innocence and happiness.
Right.
And all the negative things that are there now, talking about Jamaica today, never existed.
Right. In terms of as being a young person and just having a lot of freedom and, you know, and happiness.
And clean, because, innocent fun.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it has changed all over the world, really, all over the world.
Yes.
Because we are so small, and we, for us seniors, you know, we have such fun memories of our part of the world, it's always a little heartbreaking to know that things have changed so much. And overall, I think change is always good. You know, change is always good. And a lot of times it is a little painful for us as humans, you know, and this happened, I think, to individuals, no matter where they are or no matter where they're from. That, because I hear a lot of people still say in some parts of the world, when they go back, especially if they've left a long time, when they go back to their native place, not everywhere, of course, it has changed quite a bit.
Yeah, there's like a culture shock, because you're expecting at least some of what you left, the good
that
would still be there, and then you realize there was a dramatic It's a very dramatic change, and unfortunately, negatively. I mean, of course, we kept in step with the technology and so on, with cell phones and the internet and so on. But unfortunately, we had the other bad things which we, you know, don't have to relate here.
Right.
And, you know.
Oh, I see another hand up, I think. Wait, let me just see. Oh, I'm going to open. Yeah, I see another hand up at 954-762. And I'm going to open up the mic. Let's see. Good evening. You got Margaret and Carl in the backyard. Who do I have?
You have Audrey from Fort Lauderdale.
Welcome, Miss Audrey from Fort Lauderdale. Welcome to the Labrish.
Yes, it's been very interesting. And I want to send congratulations and cheer in the celebration for the 50th anniversary, the independence celebration. My son
was
born.
Oh, yes, thank you.
He was
getting
born
ready to
in that
celebrate.
Year, Andre. And the fact it was interesting about the cycle sports because I also used to attend the sporting events.
You did?
Yes, I did. It was held on Secret Friday nights, and the racing was like you say, comparable to the horse racing.
Where you bet on the cyclist.
Right, yes.
Never been.
And it was very exciting. It was a very exciting sport.
And well attended, too.
And well attended. Hi there. Yes.
Hi.
Yeah. So
but
I
it was only held in Kingston, right?
Yes.
Well, as far as I know. I didn't know. And Margaret, like you, I never knew Montego Bay until I left the island and went back to Jamaica.
Oh, well, I thought I was the only one, but
no.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, so we have something to talk about.
Right,
yes.
Right, because
so,
you know how Americans always think that we know everything. We didn't even know what was happening at the other end of the island.
Right, and I want to congratulate you, Margaret, on this wonderful, really, really wonderful show. And
oh, well, thank you.
Enlightened
that
us.
That we have had over 50,000 downloads.
Yes, because we've
which,
taken
which
a lot of
which in the old days,
granted.
Download would mean something else. But it means listened, people listening to the show
right.
collectively.
And we've learned so much because we've taken a lot for granted many times, you know, through the years, not realizing that history is a very, very important subject.
And so interesting, so interesting. But and I always know that a lot of times the seniors believe that, you know, the younger people not interested in history. And perhaps at the time they're not interested. But
yes.
I don't think I was that interested when I was younger. So I'm just asking everybody to be patient with them and let us continue to, you know, leave our information because
right.
sooner or later it will be very important to them.
Yes, exactly. And they will take this as a prime example and continue to receive the baton that you're giving them.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And with
okay.
that said, I'm going to open up the mic again to Mr. Nunes. I hope he's hello, Leah, are you there? Your mic
yes,
is open.
Yes, hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Yes?
Yes, I can.
Oh, yes, and I'm really glad to hear from Mount Vernon and Florida. And I got a kick out of Carl.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm saying about talking about Tom Moore because then I remembered exactly what my grandmother used to do. With those bets for the cycle racing.
But let me ask.
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, we're running out of time. They're giving me the 3 minute warning.
The independence is next week. You can probably continue a little bit more on that.
Sure, and we're going to talk about the first Olympian gold medal that Jamaica won. Next week we're going to talk about that
right,
because
right.
I think it will be quite appropriate, among other things, we're going to talk about the first gold medal at Jamaica Park.
And with names like Herb McKinley and so on.
Right,
yes.
We'll have all the names.
Yeah, okay.
So I want to thank you all for being here with me this evening in the backyard and thank the listeners online and those who may come by later to listen to the show. Please continue to spread the word. And remember, we're here each Thursday at 8 o'clock where we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica all together now.
Land,
we love.
Good night, and thanks for being here. And as I always say, make it a great week.
And walk good. Walk good. Bye.
Walk good.
All righty. Bye-bye. Good night.